I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. You can tell Jesse's not here. It's my faithful wife, Mary Barber. And Mary does a show called The Bible with the Barbers on Thursdays. You can actually go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio to check us out on Bible with the Barbers. She gives a biblical perspective for you on many items of the day. And today, the topic will be about America's frontline doctors chiming in on COVID-19. And that's going to be interesting. We're also going to be having a clip. We're actually talking to folks about the new Fatima movie that comes out today. Lots of good things today. You know, our narrative is, the narrative right now in our country is fear. We don't want that. Our narrative is what St. Padre Pio said, pray, hope, and don't worry. I add just the facts regarding the COVID-19. And that's what we're going to do today. We've got a very interesting clip from a woman who comes from Yugoslavia that has advice to America. So this is going to be a good show. But before we do that, I have to ask my wife, is she reporting for duty, ma'am?
I am reporting for duty, sir.
Yeah, I love it. That's what we always ask with Jesse. Mary, I'm going to read the gospel. And then, again, you have a master's in biblical studies from John Paul II and a theology degree. And you do answer a lot of the questions on our app. But I want to get an exegesis, even though this scripture verse is pretty clear. Give us some explanations on it. So I'll read the gospel, and you do some explaining, please. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus dismissed the crowds and went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace. There they will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." I love this part. "Whoever has ears ought to hear." Amen. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow. Pretty clear, isn't it?
It's clear. And it's clear to those who believe. It's clear to those who are following Christ. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is this particular chapter of Matthew's gospel, mm-hmm. chapter 13, there's a series of parables that Jesus tells. And when he's speaking to the crowds, he speaks in parables, and then he'll explain the parables to his apostles in private. His apostles are his inner circle. Those are the ones he's called. And so to them, he opens up the fullness of the truths that he wishes to reveal. Part of the reason for that is that Jesus is teaching the hierarchy of the church, that Jesus has given to the bishops the authority to teach, govern, and sanctify, and to safeguard and faithfully pass on the sacred deposit of faith that he gives. And that sacred deposit of faith is his own life and the sacred scriptures and then the liturgical life of the church. And so the bishops are supposed to faithfully pass this on. Now, they want to know, well, what does it mean? You know, you get the wheat and the tares, you tell them not to tear up the weeds. Right. Well, because you can tear up the good with the bad. And here's the deal for us as Christians. It's not just the individual people, but our own souls are divided. You know, we find in ourselves this war that Paul talks about in Romans, where it's I do the good I don't do the good that I want to do, and I do the evil I don't want to do. So it's easy for us to sin because of original sin, and we are oriented away from God. We find it very easy to sin, but we find it difficult to follow God. And so we need to pray every day for the grace to follow God. But it's not about living in fear. It's not even about living in fear of death or living in fear of sinning. You know, when you look at sin and you find yourself being afraid, just look at Jesus and say, Jesus, I don't want the sin. I want you, Lord. I want you, and I choose you. So help me to resist the sin. And if you fall, confession. This is what confession is for. We all fall. Mm-hmm. The righteous man falls 7 times a day.
Yep.
So Jesus is telling us that, yeah, there's this reality. The evil will always be around you. Temptation is always going to be there. But are we going to be patient and persevering and trusting in the Lord in the midst of temptation and struggles, in the midst of chaos and darkness? Or are we going to say, forget it, Lord. I'm tired of trying. I quit. No, we have to persevere to the end. And in the end, he will send out his angels. And it's beautiful because Jesus, you know, the angels are always there in Scripture. And they're not just, they're real. You know, the angels are real persons, by the way. They are persons. I made that mistake once. No, angels are real persons. Now, they're not human persons. They're angelic persons. They're pure spirits. But they serve the Lord. The good angels serve the Lord. But there are angels who fell away from God, who are disobedient, and they want to lead every human being that God ever made. They want to lead you to hell. So they want you to follow them. And so at the end of the world, the good angels will go out and they will divide the good from the evil. So anyone who sins or leads other into sin and does evil will be separated from God for all eternity if they're unrepentant.
Right.
And they will go into hell. And this is Gehenna. And we want to pray every day for the grace not to follow the devil, not to follow our own will, our own disordered passions, but to follow Christ and him crucified, and to ask our angels, the good angels, to help us to follow the Lord, and then to be faithful to him in persevering love until the end of time.
Mary, that sits well with what Bishop Sheen is going to tell us today about
awesome.
The devil.
Beautiful.
You know, the Bible speaks about the devil. People who tell you there's no devil have no idea what the Bible is.
No, they don't.
Speaks about the devil many times. So at this time, Mary, I'm going to bring the smartest guy into the room. Oh, yeah.
Here Fulton. Bishop Sheen.
Bishop Sheen. And, you know, this clip that I'm going to play, just to set the stage, is 50 years old.
Wow.
1960s.
Wow.
And what he has to say, think of what's going on in the world right now and see how appropriate this is. Let's play the clip.
And the final temptation, which will be the temptation of the church in the next 100 years. And we have the dim beginnings of it now. Satan says theology is politics. Why bother with theology? God, the transcendent, the mystery of redemption. The only thing that matters is politics.
Wow.
Spot on.
Wow. And holding, as it were, the shiny globe of the world in his hand, Satan said, all these kingdoms are mine.
Whoa.
Am I? And I will give them to you. And falling down, you will adore me.
Whoa.
It was the third temptation of our blessed Lord, not to be concerned with the divine, but to be concerned only with the social and political order.
See, Mary, that's why I played this clip that it was 50 years ago in the 60s. But this is what's going on right now. We've forgotten the supernatural outlook on life. And we keep looking for political leaders for solutions rather than the person of Christ.
Amen.
Now, I will say this. Before we, after this break, we're going to be talking about America's frontline doctors about the COVID-19. But I want to give a little plug to our Protestant brothers out here in California in Sun Valley. They're a church that's refusing to shut down in the face of the local leaders threatening to cut their power off. This is a Grace Community Church in Sun Valley. They're saying that the state has over-exceeded their authority.
Absolutely.
Biblically, they give you all the biblical verses.
Praise God.
This over the weekend, Phil Johnson, executive director of the McCarthy's Grace Community Church, said the local officials have threatened to cut off power to our churches that if we remain open in violation of the governor's order.
Wow.
Now, I say this, California's 25% occupancy cap on religious services, he says, is indisputably discriminated against religion.
Yes.
And such discriminations violate the First Amendment.
Absolutely.
Justice Brett Kavanaugh argued in his dissenting opinion in the case, noting that factories, offices, supermarkets, restaurants, retail stores, pharmacies, shopping malls, pet grooming shops, bookstores, hair salons, marijuana dispensaries were not subject to the same cap.
No.
He's a Supreme Court justice. He sees
right.
the irony of this and the injustice that's going on.
Absolutely.
And when we come back at the break, we're going to talk about doctors. They are called America's frontline doctors to expose the error, the fake news that's going on regarding COVID-19. And don't forget, after this show, Bishop Joseph Strickland, the Bishop of Tyler, Texas, is going to be coming on with me to do a show every Tuesday after the Terry and Jesse show. If you can't hear it, go to our app, get our app, Virgin Most Powerful Radio app, or go to our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org, and download it or listen to it on our YouTube channel. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse show. My wife, Mary Barber, with the Bible with the Barbers, is filling in today. This is going to be an amazing show, because when you come back, tell your friends you want to listen to this clip regarding America's frontline doctors who are working on solutions to COVID-19 and are going to demonstrate to us those very solutions. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back on the Terry and Jesse show. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us, by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871. Because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. It's actually Mary Barber and Terry Barber. We have a host of shows that we do, the Bible with the Barbers, and I wanted her to join in on this conversation that we're going to have regarding COVID-19. We've got America's frontline doctors are coming out and uniting to say that, you know what, we know enough about the COVID-19 that we can solve this problem, get people back to work, get the kids back into school. Well, let's listen to what they have to say, because remember, the narrative right now in our country is fear. Everything is fear.
Yes.
We'll have you do anything out of fear. But our narrative is pray, hope, and don't worry, just the facts, ma'am. So I'm going to ask Mr. Engineer to play a clip from these doctors and listen in, but you can get the whole thing on YouTube, at least at this point. They've been taken off a couple times because of what they're saying, but I think it's important that we hear from the doctors that are on the front line talking and working with patients. Let's play that clip.
I'll turn it over.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Congressman. So we're here because we feel as though the American people have not heard from all the expertise that's out there all across our country. Mm-hmm. We do have some experts speaking, but there's lots and lots of experts across the country. So some of us decided to get together. We're America's frontline doctors. We're here only to help American patients and the American nation heal. We have a lot of information to share. Americans are riveted and captured by fear at the moment. We are not held down by the virus as much as we're being held down by the spider web of fear. That spider web is all around us, and it's constricting us, and it's draining the lifeblood of the American people, American society, and American economy. This does not make sense. COVID-19 is a virus that exists in essentially two phases. There's the early phase disease and there's the late phase disease. In the early phase, either before you get the virus or early when you've gotten the virus, if you've gotten the virus, there's treatment. That's what we're here to tell you. We're going to talk about that this afternoon. You can find it on America's Frontline Doctors. There's many other sites that are streaming it live on Facebook. But we implore you to hear this, because this message has been silenced. There are many thousands of physicians who have been silenced from telling the American people the good news about the situation, that we can manage the virus carefully and intelligently, but we cannot live with this spider web of fear that's constricting our country. So we're going to hear now from various physicians. Some are going to talk to you about what the lockdown has done to young, to older, to businesses, to the economy, and how we can get ourselves out of the cycle of fear.
Wow.
Wow.
There's more to him coming. Here she comes.
Hello. I'm Dr. Stella Emanuel. I'm a primary care physician in Houston, Texas. You know, I actually went to medical school in West Africa, Nigeria, where I took care of malaria patients, treated them with hydroxychloroquine and stuff like that. So I'm actually used to these medications. I'm here because I have personally treated over 350 patients with COVID. Patients that have diabetes, patients that have high blood pressure, patients that have asthma, old people. I think my oldest patient is 92, 87 year olds. And the result has been the same. I put them on hydroxychloroquine, I put them on zinc, I put them on Zitromax, and they are all well. For the past few months, I've taken care of over 350 patients. We've not lost one, not a diabetic, not a somebody with high blood pressure, not somebody with asthma, not an old person. We've not lost one patient. And on top of that, I've put myself, my staff, and many doctors that I know on hydroxychloroquine for prevention, because by the very mechanism of action, it works early and as a prophylaxis. We see patients, 10 to 15 COVID patients every day.
Wow.
We give them breathing treatments. We only wear surgical masks. None of us has gotten sick. It works. So right now, I came here to Washington, D.C. to say, America, nobody needs to die. The study that made me start using hydroxychloroquine was a study that they did under the NIH in 2005 that say it works. Recently, I was doing some research about a patient that had hiccups, and I found that they even did a recent study in the NIH, which is our national institute, that is the national NIH, National Institute of Health. They actually had a study, and go look it up. Type hiccups and COVID, you will see it. They treated a patient that had hiccups with hydroxychloroquine, and it proved that COVID is a symptom of hiccups. It's a symptom of COVID. So if the NIH knows that treating the patient with hydroxychloroquine proves that hiccup is a symptom of COVID, then they definitely know that hydroxychloroquine works. I'm upset. Why I'm upset is that I see people that cannot breathe. I see parents walk in. I see diabetics sit in my office knowing that this is a death sentence and they can't breathe. And I hug them and I tell them, it's going to be okay, you're going to leave. And we treat them and they leave. None has died. So if some fake science, some person sponsored by all these fake pharma companies comes out and say, oh, we've done studies and they found out that it doesn't work, I can tell you categorically it's fake science. I want to know who is sponsoring that study. I want to know who is behind it. Because there is no way I can treat 350 patients and counting and nobody is dead and they all did better. And then you're going to tell me that you treated 20 people, 40 people and it didn't work. I'm a true testimony. So I came here to Washington, D.C., to tell America, nobody needs to get sick. This virus has a cure. It is called hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and Zithromax. I know you people want to talk about masks. Hello? You don't need masks. There is a cure. I know they don't want to open schools. No, you don't need people to be locked down. There is prevention, and there is a cure. And let me tell you something. All you fake doctors out there that tell me, oh, yeah, I want a double-blinded studies. I just tell you, quit sounding like a computer, double-blinded, double-blinded. I don't know whether your chips are malfunctioning, but I'm a real doctor. I have radiologists. We have plastic surgeons. We have neurosurgeons like Sanjay Gupta saying, oh, yeah, it doesn't work and it causes heart disease. Let me ask you, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, hear me. Have you ever seen a COVID patient? Have you ever treated anybody with hydroxychloroquine and they died from heart disease? When you do, come and talk to me. Because I sit down in my clinic every day and I see this patient walk in every day, scared to death. I see people driving 2-3 hours to my clinic because some ER doctor is scared of the Texas board or they are scared of something and they will not prescribe medication to these people. Wow. I tell all of you doctors that are sitting down and watching Americans die, you're like the good Nazis, the good Germans that watched Jews get killed and you did not speak up. If they come after me, they threaten me. They've threatened to, I've gotten all kinds of threats. Oh, they're going to report me to the boards. I say, you know what? I don't care. I'm not going to let Americans die. And if this is the mountain, if this is the hill where I get nailed on, I will get nailed on it. I don't care. Wow. You can report me to the boards. You can kill me. You can do whatever. But I'm not going to let Americans die. And today I'm here to say it, that America, there is a cure for COVID. All this foolishness does not need to happen. There is a cure for COVID. There is a cure for COVID. It's called hydroxychloroquine. It's called zinc. It's called Zithromax. And it is time for the grassroots to wake up and say, no, we're not going to take this any longer. We're not going to die. Because let me tell you something. When somebody is dead, they are dead. They're not coming back tomorrow to have an argument. They're not coming back tomorrow to discuss the double-blinded study and the data. All of you doctors that are waiting for data, if 6 months down the line, you actually found out that this data shows that this medication works, how about your patients that have died? You want a double-blinded study where people are dying? It's unethical.
It is.
So,
amen.
Guys, we don't need to die. There is a cure for COVID.
Wow.
Did you hear her? There's a cure for COVID. Yeah, is this microphone on?
This woman, she's been on and off YouTube because they keep taking her off. I've watched her over the months of this whole thing. And then when I see that, you know, all these doctors are joining her to say, you know, this is not, this can be solved, and that we're making it a political process rather than just a medical to say, look, we can handle this. And they're saying, you know, let's get everybody back to work. Let's get people back to school. We can handle this. But, you know, Mary, when I listened to it, and you heard it already, I just want to get your take, not so much what she said, because people heard it, but a biblical perspective on sickness.
Well, it's interesting, because I think the first woman who spoke put it well.
Yeah.
We're living in a web of fear.
Right.
What does Hebrews say about that? Hebrews says that the children remain slaves through their fear of death their whole life long. When we fear death, we become slaves. Mm. When we're afraid of death, all of a sudden we're willing to do anything to prolong our life, even if it's opposed to God's will. And this is the danger. When we're living in fear, we're not living in the freedom of the children of God. Jesus Christ didn't come to eliminate suffering. He didn't come to eliminate death. Mm-hmm. He didn't come to eliminate sickness and injury. He came to fill suffering with his presence. So when we're suffering, we can unite it to Christ. But as these two women said, and there were more doctors who spoke in that, if you can get it, you can go on Breitbart, and listen to it, because it's not removed from there. It's been removed from YouTube. So a friend of mine sent it to me yesterday, and she sent it to me twice on two different formats, and it was removed from both formats before I got a chance to see it. Because it's not saying what the World Health Organization is saying. But the reality is that as Christians, we're supposed to live in the freedom of the children of God. And that means that we understand, I have on earth no lasting city. My hope is not to live forever on earth. My hope is to live forever with God in heaven. Amen. I want to be with God in heaven. So I'm going to keep his law. I'm going to live in union with God. I'm going to pray every day and carry on a conversation with God and ask him to make me holy and get me ready to go to heaven. And so I'm not afraid of sickness and death and illness.
Mary, let me just jump in and say, many people aren't even going to church because they're afraid to get COVID-19. And that's a trick the devil's playing on them, in my humble opinion.
Amen. And as the
fear.
As the priest said at Mass today, in history, throughout history, up until this particular illness, it has always been the response of Christians in the midst of a pandemic or a crisis in society. The church has become full.
That's right.
People rush to God and say, Lord, we need your help. They go to confession. You know, there's the story of there was an island down in the Caribbean.
Oh, it's a great story.
And they had a volcano.
Yep.
And this was like in the early 1900s. And it became famous because there were two survivors of the city. One of them was a little girl who had jumped into her brother's boat and the boat got washed out to sea. The other was a prisoner who was in an underground prison cell whose cell window faced away from the volcano. And so what happened was the people of the city knew the volcano was erupting. They knew because they had lived in the shadow of that volcano all their lives. They knew their volcano and they knew it was going to erupt. So they tried to evacuate the city. And the governor of the island said, no, no, no. He put troops along the road. Nobody can leave this city because you will create panic. You will create fear. So you know what they did? They all went to church and lined up. And for days, everybody went to confession.
Yep.
They all went to confession. And then when the volcano erupted, in a matter of minutes, 30,000 people died, burned to death from heat.
Yep.
And there were those two survivors who were actually within the city. There was one survivor who was outside the city. There was a little villa outside the city that some people had gone to. Everybody in the villa but one man had died. And so it's
great
not
story.
Fear. It's go to God.
Great,
go to God.
Great story. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about a Fatima new movie. Also, keep me in your prayers later today. I'll tell you after the break what I'm going to be doing, but I need your prayers. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Mary Danielle is my partner today. She's my partner for 30-some years. Bible with the Barbers we do on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be back with much more to help you fall in love with Jesus and his church.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. It's www.CovenantEyes.com. Code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Actually, it's Terry and Mary. Mary's filling in for Jesse. She's my partner for life. She's also my partner on the Bible with the Barber. So if you'd like to get a good Bible study going once a week on Thursdays, you can download it on the Virgin Most Powerful Radio Network. I wanted to bring in another doctor live to talk about what he thinks about COVID-19, local Southern California doctor. Dr. Fritz, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. You're on with Mary Barber and Terry Barber.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Fritz. Hey, question, doctor. Question is, you are a doctor for what, 35 years? You've been around being a doctor here in Southern California?
Yeah.
And you've been watching this COVID-19. I sent you that clip we played on the show today regarding the America frontline doctors. What is your take in the sense of how serious this COVID-19 is? Are we responding appropriately, or are we just maybe missing the mark on this?
Well, first of all, my specialty is not infectious disease
No.
or epidemiology.
Right.
So it's hard for me to make a full judgment on that. I think there are some instances where it really is overblown, and just looking at it sort of at a distance, an unattached observer might see everything that's going on and wonder how much of this is really medical and how much of this is really kind of political
sure.
and social
sure.
engineering.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I think that's really a legitimate question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, this waffling of medical advice.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
On one hand, everybody has to lock down. Everybody has to keep to themselves. On the other hand, you hear this expert, and what does he say? Well, you know, if you want to take a chance and hook up with somebody, well, okay, that's your chance. Well, wait a second. Okay, you can't do one, but you can do the other. It just makes no sense. And
wow.
2 months ago, it was, well, you know, something, you know, maybe the protests and, you know, omitting the social distancing, maybe that's not too bad if it's for a good reason. And
oh.
what do we see now? A resurgence of the COVID.
Yeah.
And I asked my colleagues in the hospital, you know, do you really see more COVID? They say, absolutely. They do see a lot more COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, what about then? You have, from what I understand, there was a panel of doctors, many that said, no, it's okay. You can go ahead and do this kind of protest.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if they're taking a back step and say, well, maybe it's not such a good idea.
Right.
You know, it just bothers me. And I wonder, I seriously wonder what of this is truly medical and what of this has far stranger, more far-reaching motivations. And I personally know that scientific journals are not always upfront and not always altruistic
mm-hmm,
and honest in their motivations. Actually, over the decades, I've sort of been reading these major medical journals and kind of their opinions
yes.
about different topics. And one glaring example is, I'll name it, the New England Journal of Medicine.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And for decades, I've been reading their editorials and their articles, and I'm scratching my head and thinking, wow, these editorials are really pro-abortion.
Wow.
And I wonder why that is, because I know for a fact that there are a lot of doctors and a lot of people in the medical community that do not think that abortion is legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
So why would a medical journal overwhelmingly publish articles that are in support of that? Another example is human embryonic stem cell research, especially in the early 1990s. Mm-hmm. The early 2000s.
Yes.
The New England Journal of Medicine published a plethora of articles basically saying that we have to do human embryonic stem cell research because within a few short years, we will have the cure for Parkinson's disease, diabetes, spinal cord transections, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to have this funding for human embryonic stem cell research.
Sure.
So when you look further at especially the human embryonic stem cell research issue, it's kind of interesting that you can only patent research inventions from human embryonic stem cell research, not adult stem cell research, which is readily available, easy to do, no ethical problem at all.
Wow.
And it works.
Wow.
Yeah.
Of thousands of people have been treated using adult stem cells. How many people have been effectively cured with human embryonic stem cell research? Zero.
Zero.
Wow.
Zero.
Wow. There's an agenda going. There's an agenda.
The thing is, I said, well, okay, this is just my sort of opinion. I'm reading this, and it's just my sort of sense. I'm actually going to do a study. I'm going to count the number of articles from 2000 until 2017 of the articles in New England Journal of Medicine that were pro-human embryonic stem cell research. And their major articles and editorials were 20 or so in number.
Mm-hmm.
How about abortion in those 17 years? Over 50 articles.
Wow.
I mean, it's mind-boggling. And how many were to the contrary? One minor letter to the editor did manage to get squeezed in.
Wow.
That was it.
That's it.
Who is one of the people that wrote an editorial for the New England Journal of Medicine was the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood.
Wow.
I mean, you can't even
stack
make
in the deck.
Up. I mean, it's so mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Journal is one thing. And the other thing I wanted to mention is this issue of hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah.
The Lancet, which is another famous,
journal.
Has renowned status in the medical community, just right up there with the Journal of Medicine. But the Lancet published an article basically saying that hydroxychloroquine is not effective and can have complications in the treatment of COVID and is not recommended.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that within a week that article got pulled because the data could not be substantiated. The article was pulled. It was retracted.
Interesting.
And by the way, this Lancet is the same journal who 10 or 15 years ago published a case report of somebody who was supposedly cured of some ophthalmic disease with human embryonic stem cell research. And oh, by the way, that study could never be reproduced.
Yeah.
So
the agenda.
The number remains zero human embryonic stem cell
cases. Wow.
What I'm trying to say is over the decades, I've lost trust in the medical journals, in their ability to give unbiased scientific facts.
Yeah, that's your point. Yeah, I get it.
Just a question real quick, Dr. Fritz. In regards to the doctors who are seeing an increase in number of the cases of COVID since the public protests and the lack of social distancing going on there, how much increase in death did they see?
Not much. Not much. It's very interesting. Even though there are more cases, they're lesser in severity. Now, having said that, I'm the last one to say that COVID is not a dangerous disease. It is.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? There are lots of dangerous diseases.
Exactly.
And we do our best. And at some point, the one person that we seem to have left out of the entire equation is the hand of God.
Amen.
And he has something to do with it, too.
Right. Well, as a doctor, Dr. Fritz, when you treat your patients, are you trying to fill them with fear or are you trying to fill them with hope that there's a possibility that they could get better?
Well, let me give you the example. Last week, I had a patient who had a perforated intestine.
Ooh.
And I had to do emergency surgery. So here we were, from midnight to like 3 a.m. operating on him. And he had COVID. So here he was, a COVID patient. the anesthesiologist essentially just say, why are you even doing this? He will die. He has no chance, no hope whatsoever. Why are you doing this?
What?
You know, this guy has a chance. He has a perforated intestine. We got to save his life. So here we were, 2 o'clock in the morning, operating on him. Basically, the patient was blown off, saying that he's going to die for sure. I knew that, you know, he had an excellent chance of getting through it, and sure enough, he did. He was intubated. He was on a ventilator. And right now, he is off the ventilator, and in fact, I'm going to the hospital now to see him.
Awesome.
Wow.
What a great story.
You can't
give up on people.
You can't just blow somebody off because he has, you know, this.
Yep. Dr. Bumgardner, I got to just say thank you. I know you're a busy doctor with surgeries and all the rest, but I just want to say thanks for just telling it like it is out there in the front lines. And, you know, we appreciate you taking the time to call in.
Thank you. Thank you.
You bet.
You bet. God bless you.
Bye.
You bet. We have a person on the line, and I apologize for not knowing his or her name, but they're promoting a Fatima movie. And I said, yes, of course, call in. We want the Fatima message needs to get out. So, my friend, what is your first name?
Dick Lyle.
Dick, God love you. Dick, we're going to be having a break in a minute, but I want to hear what you're doing and when is this movie coming out, because we're excited. Anything that talks about Fatima, we need that message more than ever. Go ahead.
Well, the movie will be available in theaters or available to rent at home as of August 28th.
Good, August 28th.
It's a great new movie about Fatima. Mm-hmm. It's produced in Portugal. It tells the story of the shepherd from a real gritty, down-to-earth perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's just a phenomenal movie.
Good.
Awesome.
How can people get, is there a website they can see a trailer, Dick?
They should go to Fatima the Movie.
Fatima the Movie.
Fatima the Movie. All one word, though. FatimaTheMovie.com.
Okay.
And they can see the trailer. The trailer's incredible. And when they watch the trailer, they'll be able to hear Andrea Bocelli sing the theme song.
Oh, yeah.
He helped us with the soundtrack and
recorded
an original theme song called Grazia Plena. That's just beautiful. And then also, if they're on the website,
yes,
they can see the schedules, which theaters it will be released in,
awesome,
and how it's available to rent at home starting August 28th.
Awesome.
And if they want to do group purchases to take groups to the theater, they can do that.
Dick,
as well.
I appreciate you calling. We got to take a break, but I appreciate it. FatimaTheMovie.com, all one word, August 28th. See it. We want to promote Fatima here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Dick, God love you. We come back, I have a special clip from Yugoslavia. What? Yes, regarding COVID-19. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're too blessed to be stressed. We'll be right back.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871. Because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Mary Barber, my wife, is sitting in for Jess today. After this show, we're going to have Bishop Strickland go on. He's a once-a-week show, the new Bishop Strickland Hour, where we talk on issues of the day and also the basic teachings of the church. As you mentioned, bishops are to teach, govern, and sanctify. Well, he's teaching us. That'll be right after this show. If you can't get it on your network, just go ahead and go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. I want to mention that at the beginning of the show, if you missed it, we played many doctors that are coming out. They're called America's Frontline Doctors, and many of them, thousands of doctors, are coming out and saying, we can't be quiet any longer about COVID-19. Well, I want to play a clip from a woman from Yugoslavia, and she makes a connection that it really struck me. Yeah. And so I'm going to ask to play this at this moment and see what your thoughts are. I think I'm going to play it.
Thank you, Mr. Engineer.
This is my message for the greatest country in the world. In the light of the recent events in the United States, I felt morally obliged to shed light on a very similar chain of events that took place in my country during the 90s. Mm. The cause of those events was the same. A constantly re-emerging ultimate evil, nihilistic, non-theistic religion/cult that caused hundreds of millions of deaths in the 20th century and countless suffering. Now, proponents of that religion want to run the experiment once again, and in that experiment, you, people of America, will be lab mice.
Wow.
Not so long ago, I was a lab mouse of dictators in my country. That country was Yugoslavia. Rather than giving you lessons about history of my country, I want to give you the timeline of the events which led to an extremely bloody war and dissolution of Yugoslavian Federacy. I will leave it to you to make conclusions about similarities with recent events in the United States. Mm. In the 1989, the fall of the Berlin Wall marked the victory of the free world over tyrannical monstrosity of communism across the Europe. However, Yugoslav communists didn't feel like letting go of their precious powers. Since the climate in Europe was extremely anti-communist at the time, they knew they needed a new strategy, an ideology that would seduce the masses and keep the power in their hands. So they come up with a very clever idea, to rebrand the communism in Yugoslavia and to change its name into socialism. Not any type of socialism, but a very special type, the National Socialism. Sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
The playbook they used to progress with their agenda was already tested in Nazi Germany. To establish National Socialism, you must first install hatred in people.
Wow.
In order to create genocidal levels of hatred, you must divide people of one country in well-defined groups. In other words, you must create tribal or groupthink.
Yep.
This can be achieved in different ways. You can divide people by ethnicity, by race, by religion. You can let your imagination go wild. Since Yugoslavs were white and practically indistinguishable among themselves, the only card they could play was the religion card. Yugoslavia was very mixed religion-wise, and we had Orthodox Christian Serbs, Catholic Croats and Slovenes, and Muslim Bosnians, a perfect starting position. In the next phase, you must start making such social policies, so terrible that will inevitably lead to the countless individual disadvantages. When the consequences of such government policies become obvious, you must start claiming that the cause of those inequalities is nothing but discrimination and hatred of one group towards another.
There you go.
And naturally, you must start screaming that those inequalities must be corrected by favoring the oppressed, discriminated group over the oppressor group.
Wow.
Enter national quotas for hiring. Now just replace national with race or women. Once the groups are formed and well-defined, it's needless to say that all the mainstream media in Yugoslavia were government-controlled and were fueling the narrative about mutual discrimination and hatred relentlessly.
Wow.
The growing fear and feeling of insecurity destroyed relationships, marriages, friendships.
Wow.
As fear of discrimination and hostility among groups were growing, people started retreating and isolating within their own groups because they didn't feel safe anymore with the individuals of the other group.
There you go.
All of the sudden, staged and very well organized mass protests started all over the country. Protests against the oppression and killing of one group by another. At first, those protests were peaceful, but soon enough, rioting and burning started. Now that you have the attention of the public, you need sparks. What is a spark? A spark is a convenient event of murdering of a random member of one group by a hateful member of another. And you usually need more than one of those.
Wow.
At this point, people were still not completely divided. There were still reasonable people left, those who understood we are all one nation under God, and that we will not kill each other under any circumstances. They went out protesting together, singing for peace and holding their hands. But the hunger for the absolute power of socialists was stronger than our love for each other.
Let me clip that right there. It goes on for a few more minutes. It's important that we see the connection that what happened in Yugoslavia is happening here. Now, I want people to pray for me and for Ruben and others from Virgin Most Powerful. We're going to a Black Lives Matter protest to give out miraculous medals and to pray our rosaries and to try to evangelize people with the gospel. I understand that is somewhat dangerous. Anything can happen. So we'd ask for your prayers. But we can't take this sitting down. Now, we don't want any women there where it's all men. We're going to be in Redlands at 5 o'clock today at the center for the courthouse. And if you want to join us praying the rosary and evangelizing, we'll do it. But, you know, it could be dangerous. Why are we doing this? Because I want to see all those people who are hateful get to heaven. I want to see those people turn to Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, and be evangelized. But Mary, this particular video, you're the one who showed it to me the other day. It just seems so much a correlation to what's happening in America right now.
It's so amazing to listen to what happened in Yugoslavia because, yes, it's happening now. As she said, in Yugoslavia, they divided them by religion.
Yep.
In the United States of America, they're trying to divide us by race. Now, this started a long time ago.
Yep.
It started in the 60s with the race riots of the 60s, okay? Mm-hmm. But that was communist fueled. It was an attempt to take over in America. It failed. But the communists don't care if they fail right now. They'll come back at it another way. And they don't care how many people they kill.
That's true.
As she said, over a million people died in Yugoslavia in that 10-year civil war. And it wasn't the army killing people. It was the Yugoslavians themselves killing each other.
Oh, God.
And this is what's happening here right now. And again, it's the Communist Manifesto. You know, you have the oppressor and the oppressed. You know what, people? We all have one oppressor. The devil.
Amen.
And our own sinfulness.
That's right.
Okay? And he uses it against us. We, Adam and Eve, rebelled against God in the beginning. I'm here to give the biblical perspective.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Adam and Eve rebelled against God in the beginning. And so in the beginning, they rebelled and they became slaves of the devil through sin. And then they became slaves of their slavery because they were afraid of dying. They became afraid of dying. And so, no, it's not about the oppressor and the oppressed. It's not about the bourgeoisie or the rich versus the poor or America versus communism or capitalism versus socialism. Or no, it's about sin versus God.
Yeah.
And it's about all of us deciding whether we're going to choose to follow the devil in disobedience and sin or we're going to follow God in freedom and in light. So we have to make our choice. We have to decide who we're going to follow. And the deal is Yugoslavia saw this horrible bloodbath. And like she said, even families were divided. And we have that going on right now.
Even over masks. You know, people are, we see this.
Yeah. Somebody was shot in a grocery store because they weren't wearing a mask.
I know.
Some woman at a Black Lives Matter said, well, all lives matter. And so they shot her. Excuse me. What is this?
Yeah.
This isn't...
Needs to stop.
Right. We're not... Let's wake up and hear what's really happening. This isn't about the oppressor and the oppressed. Sin oppresses us all. And if someone's whispering in your ear to kill somebody else, that someone is not God. Okay?
Mary, I just want to give a little pitch to our Bible with the Barbers show on once a week here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Give our listeners a little taste of how... What you just did, you gave a little commentary on the culture, but you also take the readings of the Bible and try to make it really practical in people's lives, whether it's a family or individuals. And I would just recommend people to go and check out the Bible with the Barbers, because we need to be biblically literate, because once you understand that God's love letter, the Bible, and it applies to you, you have a completely different perspective. You have a biblical perspective rather than maybe a political or any other perspective, because last time I looked, nobody gets out alive. We're all going to have to face death. And if you haven't met Jesus Christ in your life, then it's going to be very difficult to be with him for all eternity. So we want to encourage you to really study your Bible. And that's what you do with the Bible with the Barbers.
Right. And ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ, St. Jerome told us years ago. Every word in Scripture, from the first word of Genesis to the last word of the book of Revelation, talks to us about Jesus Christ. The Son of God really did become man. He became man. He lived among us. He never ceased being God. And he wasn't a divided person. He didn't have a split personality. He didn't have a human personality. He wasn't a human person. He had a human nature. So God... The second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Son of God, took a human nature and united it to his Godhead. So as God, he was equal to the Father. As man, he was not equal to the Father. Mm-hmm. He was a creature. But nonetheless, he united Godhead and manhood in the single person of the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And in Scripture, we want to fall in love with him. He loved us so much that he died on the cross for us. He shed every drop of his blood. He underwent torment. And so we want to respond to that love with love. And in order to do that, we need to read his word. Do we want to know God? Then we need to sit down and read his word and spend time with him. And that's what prayer is about, a loving conversation with someone who loves us. And if we do this, and by the way, this whole thing of what's going on here, what do you see? You see unforgiveness. Let's get even. Revenge. Retaliation. Well, any good psychologist will tell you, look, if you're harboring revenge in your heart and hatred, if somebody hurts you and you say, boom, I cut you out of my life, you hurt me, I'm done with you, that is going to hurt you. It destroys you. When you allow hatred to infect your heart, it destroys you as a person.
Just a quick note, Bishop Strickland's show is on next. Here's what Scott Hahn said. Bishop Strickland is one of the most dynamically orthodox bishops in the church today. He's courageous. He's outspoken. He's a shepherd who always is ready to defend the flock. I know you'll be blessed by his powerful teaching and commentary. That's up next on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Mary Danielle, what state should we be living in?
The state of grace.
Oh, good. And what state shouldn't we be living in?
The state of mortal sin.
And what should we do if we are in the state of mortal sin?
Go to confession. And don't wait. Call a priest today and make an appointment.
I want to thank all of you for supporting us. This show will be an eye-opener, I hope, to your friends and neighbors. So tell them that they can like us on Facebook or YouTube. You can send this to your friends, because many people are not getting this message because of what I call fake news.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for allowing us to proclaim Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. May God richly bless you, and enjoy the next hour with Bishop Joseph Strickland on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God bless you and your family.
Thank you. Saint Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.